Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome to this segment this morning about the CMMC. It's about the Certified Maturity Model Certification. And in the show, we are honored to have Greg Johnson yet once again. He is a CEO and owner of WebCheck Security. And we also bring along Ms. Lori Crooks. She is actually a project manager for WebCheck Security as well. Greg, why don't you go ahead and give our audience a brief overview of your company, WebCheck, and Lori, can you provide a little bit of a background and a little bit about your bio yourself, too?
Great. Thanks, Robbie. It's great to be here, as always. I think this is, Robbie, the fourth or fifth podcast now that we've done together?
Who's keeping count? I'm having fun. I think maybe it's fifth or sixth. I can't remember.
Right. And so it's always a pleasure and a joy to be here. And I'm really, really happy to have Lori with me today. Lori is not only a senior consultant with WebCheck Security, but she also is the president of her own Endeavor Security Compliance Solutions, DBA LB Compliance. The thing about Lori is she's fantastic. My clients love her. And that's because of her deep and rich experience. I'll let her go into her bio in a minute, and then maybe we'll give a background on WebCheck. So, Lori, why don't you go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your background, and some of your strengths.
Sure. Thank you both for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today. My background, I have about 20 years experience in audit compliance, data security, and privacy, both within the industry and as an external consultant. I started out working with the Georgia Department of Audits and Accounts as a financial auditor, and then quickly moved into IT auditing because I got tired of number crunching all the time. And ever since then, I have not looked back. I love IT auditing and security, and it's just so much fun to work in. So after I left our Georgia Department of Audits and Accounts as a IT auditor, I went to Equifax and joined their internal audit team, where I was able to learn and gain experience around Sarbanes-Oxley. From there, I heard about a job opening at a place called ChoicePoint. You guys might have heard of it. At one point in time, it got bought out by LexisNexis, but they had just gone through one of their major security breaches. And had some requirements from the FTC in order to build a cybersecurity program based around ISO 27001. So I went there and helped them build their cybersecurity program around the ISO 27001 standard, and then stuck around to become a compliance auditor and manager there, just making sure that everyone within the organization had implemented the program and framework correctly. From there, I got interested in working on the external side and helping and consulting others. So I went to Align for a couple of years where I focused on a lot of the security audits and assessments, including the SOC, the NIST, both on the FISMA side and the FedRAMP side, PCI, HIPAA, ISO, a little bit of everything. And then one of my customers needed assistance developing a program around the DFARS 252, 204, 7012, which includes the NIST 800-171 that we're going to talk about more about today. So I left a line to help that customer build their program around the DFARS. And since then, I started my own company at Security Compliance Solutions and just been working and assisting other companies in meeting their compliance needs and assessments. By either helping them perform an assessment or developing the documentation that they need in order to become compliant. So I'm excited to be here today to talk with you guys about the CMMC and why it's going to be important over the next couple of years.
And Lori, that's where we met, I think, was at Align, right, Lori?
Mm-hmm. It was.
And Lori was just an impressive individual. I guess, Ravi, that's why I started WebCheck Security. I've got 35 years in the technology industry, including Novell, which dates me. But I was one of the only sales reps when Novell acquired WordPerfect Corporation to get a certified network administrator designation. And so through the years, my network knowledge was dangerous enough to be able to competently scope and provide solutions to our clients. And so not long ago, I started WebCheck Security with knowing that I have people to rely on, like Lori, Kurt, my VP of engineering, who leads our penetration test efforts. So fundamentally, Ravi, WebCheck Security is a world-class cyber services organization delivering and focusing on not only expert penetration testing, but also expert maturity assessments with fantastic practitioners like Lori, who have been around the industry, have more than a decade of experience. And just another note about Lori, she ran just about all of the cyber practices or managed them rather at Align. And so her experience is just tremendous, and I can send her on an ISO 27001 readiness assessment. I can send her on a general CIS-20 assessment, PCI assessment. She has that background capability. She can develop milestones and policy, and she just has a tremendous amount of skill and experience with her CISSP, her CISA, and her CISM designation. So it's a pleasure to have her be here today to talk about CMMC and its relationship to NIST and what that means for the defense contractor industry.
Awesome. Hey, Lori, I just wanted to say congrats on those certs. I know they're tough to get, so my hat's off to you on those.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was not easy.
Right. Okay, so let's do a deep dive into today's topic. Lori, so what is the CMMC? What is it about? Why is it being created? And tell us everything you know about it.
Sure. Well, there is a lot to know, a lot to find out. And to be honest, there's a lot still being developed. So as we kind of talk a little bit more about it today, you know, some of the things that we're going to have to say, you know, it's still in the process. But a little bit background, the CMMC actually stands for the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification, and it's going to be used as a verification process to ensure that organizations are protecting CUI securely and properly. It's currently based on best security practices, and it's leveraged some existing standards such as the NIST 800-171, but also other standards such as Aerospace Industries Association, the National Aerospace Standard 993, and CERT Resilience Management Model
1.2. Okay. Go ahead, please. You can expand on that further, please.
Yeah, so they're trying to provide a unified cybersecurity standard for DoD contracts. So everyone will be evaluated at various levels, but at least there will be some sort of standard going forward, and it will have a third-party assessor coming out and performing that assessment.
Okay. Now, just a side question. Is this third party, is it any vendor, or is it strictly like the defense contractors?
So the third-party assessors, they're actually going to be setting up a what's called a C3 PAO. So it's going to be a certified and accredited organization that has to go through the proper training in order to send out the assessors. And then on top of that, the assessors themselves have to go to training to be certified and able to go assess these organizations that have the DoD information or are a DoD contractor or subcontractor.
Okay. Now, what exactly is the CUI? Could you please define that acronym for us and what it means to CMMC?
Sure. So CUI is Controlled Unclassified Information. And a little bit of background down there, there was a lot of governmental standards around protecting classified information. So there were standards on protecting classified information, making sure it was stored properly, securely, all the nine yards. But they found that there was a problem. There was a lot of unclassified information out there, but they realized if somebody was able to get all this unclassified information and put it together, they would actually have a lot of governmental secrets or be able to, you know, gather intellectual property. And there was no standard out there to protect this data that was unclassified. So they came up with this new term called controlled unclassified information. And so it is information that a government creates or possesses, or any entity that possesses information that the government has passed down to them. It could be things such as financial information, privacy information, law enforcement information, again, proprietary business information. And there's a whole listing out there on NARA's website of the different types of CUI that are actually already defined and need to be protected by a standard. And that's where CMMC comes into play.
Okay, now how is the CMMC exactly set up? I mean, my knowledge of this is actually very limited to what I've done in research on Google. I believe that there are five different levels, but could you please expand on as much as you know and give as much detail as possible to our audience, please?
Sure. So the CMMC standard just came out, I think, either early this year or late last year. There's version 1.02 out currently, and it is set up and split into processes and practices. So a process is defined as those that characterize to the extent to which an activity is vetted or ingrained into the operations of an organization, versus a practice, which is actually your activities. They're repeatable, they're consistent, they're high quality. And those practices and processes are organized into 17 different domains, which are leveraged across the five levels that you mentioned. These domains are access control, incident response, awareness and training, very similar to any of your other NIST-related control families, basically. And of the five levels, you start with level one, which is basically your bare minimum. There's actually no maturity process for a level one that has to be developed because they're assuming that you don't have that much in place. Things are not ingrained within your organization at a level one. For the practices, they consider these just being the basic cyber hygiene. So I think there's about 17 practices that you have to have in order to be considered basic cyber hygiene. And then the level five is your highest level. The processes there are going to be optimized. So that means all your practices and all your activities and cybersecurity is ingrained into the business. It's ingrained into your operations. You have continuous monitoring in place. You're leveraging security through every fiber of the organization. You have practices that are repeatable and measured and stuff like that. And then your practices are advanced and progressive. So, again, your activities, you have a lot of activities going on. You have a lot of continuous monitoring. You have IDS. You have firewalls, very higher level. You have metrics that you're measuring is another example. And so what's going to happen is your third-party auditor is going to come in and they're going to assess the organization, the DoD contractor, subcontractor, against both the processes and the practices. And you can actually be like a level two in your practices, but it's not ingrained within your organization, so your processes, or you don't have all the processes in place. So they're going to rate you at a level one. So you need to have both the practices and processes in place at the same level in order to get to that level that you need for your contract.
Okay. Now, just a side question here. Now, is getting this, the CMMC certification, now forgive me if this is kind of like a naive kind of question, but is it kind of like getting a cybersecurity certification like a CISSP, or is it, obviously it's probably more detailed, but is this something that a company that needs a certification, can they do it on their own, or is it recommended that they go through like a cybersecurity company that offers training and help to get the certification?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Because it is new, it is going to be a requirement that you have a third-party assessor come out and perform the certification process. It used to be before CMMC was developed, you had the NIST 800-171, and you could self-attest against NIST 800-171. That's going to no longer be the case with the CMMC. You actually have to go hire a third party, and that third party themselves have to be accredited in order to assess your organization against these various levels. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Now, how does the CMMC relate to NIST 800-171?
Sure. So as I mentioned, it is a little bit similar. So your NIST 800-171 was self-attestation up until this point, and there are 110 controls within the NIST 800-171 that you could self-attest to. They're still using those 110 controls for the CMMC, but they're breaking them across the different levels. So I mentioned your CMMC level one is your basic cyber security, basic cyber hygiene, as they call it. So there's going to be about 17 of the 110 controls from the NIST 800-171 that apply to that level one. And then when you go to level two, you're going to get a few more of the NIST 800-171 controls. And then by the time you hit level three, you are actually going to be assessed against all 110 NIST 800-171 controls, plus whatever other new controls that they have added based on the other standards. And then for levels four and five within the CMMC, they've actually taken the NIST 800-171B, which is more of a relatively new standard, to be able to demonstrate advanced cybersecurity program.
Excellent. Now, how do I know, like, if I was a defense contractor, how do I know which CMMC level is required for a contract? Is that spelled out by the DoD in the contracts they give out, or how does one know what they need to achieve? I mean, to me, this seems like it seems very confusing to me.
Yeah, it is a little bit, to be honest, and that's why they're still figuring a lot of this out. But they will be requiring or specifying which level you need to be within the RFIs or the RFPs that are going to be coming out later this year. But if you have a current DoD contract, you might want to ask them, you know, if they know what kind of level you are going to be at. There is one caveat where if you have a current DoD contract, they might not necessarily require you to be CMMC certified until your contract is up. And then when they renew it, they might put a level in there. So it's important to stay in open communication with your DoD contractor just to see what their thoughts are and how to move forward in being able to meet the CMMC.
Just jumping in here, Lori, you've kind of addressed this, and I think maybe your answer will be unknown, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. NIST 800-171 has been around for a while. Is it your opinion, or what have you heard in regards to that being replaced? Will it go away, and now suddenly all contractors and subcontractors will be required to certify CMMC, or do you think there will be some that will still just be required at a lower level, hey, just self-assess to NIST 800-171? Let me give you an example. One of the clients I've worked with in the past makes widgets for Lockheed and for Boeing and others. You know, it may be a piece of a turbine, or it may be a seatbelt. I'm kind of going in generalities here, but that's the kind of things that are manufactured. Well, of course, some of those things find their way onto military planes. And so as a subcontractor, in the past, they've been required to demonstrate that they've had a NIST assessment, not necessarily by an accredited organization, but, you know, somebody like you or me coming in and doing an assessment, giving them a maturity report. So, you know, with that kind of a subcontractor or subcontractors to subcontractors who are directly in line with some of the contracts, what's your opinion? Will 171 go away, or is CMMC going to replace it all?
I think, and this is just based on what I've heard, I think NIST 800-171 is going to go away. I think it's going to be a slowdown clause again, and it's going to be contract dependent on versus what level you have to be. So if you're just making seatbelts, maybe you're a level one CMC, but it's going to be flowed down through the contract is my assumption of how that's going to work.
Okay, interesting.
Excellent. Now, Lori, what is the certification part of the CMMC? I'm still kind of confused about the whole thing, but if you can kind of explain to our audience a little bit more detail, please.
Sure. Yeah. So it's confusing, and some of it honestly is confusing because it's it hasn't been developed yet. The process has not been developed. Just yesterday, the CMMC accreditation body came down with some more information about training of assessors, but it's still all very new and fresh and it's all being developed. But what the certification process is going to be is all organizations that are required to comply with the CMMC, which is going to be all DOD contracts or subcontracts, they must now have a third-party assessment. That third-party assessment must be done by a company that has been accredited, and they are called C3PAOs. So they're certified third-party assessment organizations. And then each C3PAO will have individual assessors who are accredited through the CMMC accreditation body to perform the assessment at the organization. Those assessors are going to be required to go through training so they will know how to assess properly and consistently across each organization. Again, just yesterday they came out and said each assessor is going to be accredited to a certain level within the CMMC. So you can be trained just to assess against a CMMC level one, or you can be trained against a CMMC level three or a CMMC level five. And you can only assess up to the level that you are qualified to assess against. So you have to go through the training, you have to go through the testing and all that to actually be able to go to a DOD contractor or subcontractor to perform the assessment. So there's a lot of moving parts. And again, a lot of them still are not fleshed all the way out, which does make it a little bit confusing right now.
And just an insight here, Lori, you and I worked for an organization that was a 3PAO, but that was for FedRAMP. And just for our audience, FedRAMP really has to do with cloud services, cloud infrastructure. So, for example, AWS, to use a popular example, has a FedRAMP GovCloud, which is probably, I think you'll agree, Lori, one of the hardest and most hardened certifications in the cyber industry, wouldn't you agree?
I do, and there's a lot going into just getting that certification and just becoming an, you know, assessor to be able to assess against the FedRAMP. So I think they're going to try to leverage that program as much as possible from what I heard a couple months ago. So hopefully they do, because there has to be a lot of lessons learned on on that part, right?
Right. But FedRAMP was pretty narrow. Again, it's only to cloud services, cloud infrastructures. You know, if Salesforce were being used in a government context, which I imagine it is, they probably have to have a FedRAMP version running somewhere. But again, that's very narrow. I see CMMC as being very much more broad. So there is precedent. There are 3PAOs already, but none of them are certified at this moment in time, because the program's so new, for this CMMC accreditation. So essentially, it'll be a level playing field.
Correct.
Okay. Anything else more you'd like to add on more to that, Lori? Or?
No. Well, I guess within regards to the training, I'll take that back. Yes, because I just listened to, again, what they put out yesterday, and they are going to start a pilot program of trainers and assessors. So they're going to select, I think, 60 individuals to become part of the pilot training program. And so those assessors are going to go through the process and kind of go through the training, see how it all works, and then offer feedback. And then they're going to develop the process even further based on those 60 individuals. So they're finally starting to get started on this process because a lot of organizations, you know, such as Greg and myself, this is kind of the part that we have been looking forward to, just trying to figure out, okay, when can we start assessing against this? When can we get trained against it? So I think it's important to know that they are starting this process. And I don't think the application is out there yet to apply to be one of those 60 individuals to be part of the pilot training program. But once they are, I know Greg and I will be signed up to try to become a part of that program, because it is such a key program right now.
Except you're the smart one that will be doing it, Lori. I'll just be managing the business relationships.
That works.
Okay, now what
I do
is the CMMC. So what is the status of the CMMC accreditation body, or the CMMC/AB right now?
Yeah, so I guess I should give a little bit of background on that because I haven't really talked about it yet. But there is a CMMC accreditation body out there, and when they came out with the CMMC, it was a requirement of that there be an accreditation body built from the industry in order to run the accreditation process, the training, the developing the methodology for assessing and stuff. So that body is now called the CMMC-AB. And there's actually a website out there if you want to know more information about it. It's cmmcab.org. And they have formed a lot of working groups, and they've been working very hard since December when this all started being developed in order to develop everything that we need in order to start assessing against the CMMC, as well as trying to put together the methodology for assessing and also putting together the training for it. So they have this working groups in progress, and they do a pretty good job of updating the website with the latest news and everything. And so each of these working groups have been assigned various tasks, which they're supposed to be completing over the next month or two, because they had a lot of summer deadlines in order to meet the DoD's deadline of having it, the assessors ready to go this summer in order to start auditing in the fall.
Okay. So what is the exact timeline? I mean, like, what are the, you know, what's the timeline for all these companies or outside contractors to that they need to be aware of so that they can get accredited in time and get those contracts? Could you please give more detail into it?
Yeah, I'll give as much as I can. unfortunately, as I keep saying, there's still a lot unknown. But as I mentioned, there are training programs or about to start training programs. Those were supposed to be done this summer because the original timeline was that the CMM levels would be within the RFIs and RFPs starting in September. Well, that has since been bumped back to November because of the COVID-19. So it gives us a little bit more breathing room, both on the assessment side, but also on the DoD contract and subcontractor side, to know that these CMMC levels aren't going to start appearing in the RFIs and RFPs until later this year.
Okay. Now, finally, Lori, this is our last question here. What can one do to be ready for this, for the CMMC? Like, for example, suppose me, Ravi Das, was a defense contractor, which I could be one day. But what could I do, or what can a business do to get ready for this? As I mentioned, I mean, what's the best way? I mean, is it like, again, is it a book that you can order off of Amazon.com and start studying or something, like other certs for cyber? Or does this require interaction with the DoD? Can you please kind of shed more light onto it?
Sure. So if you already have existing contracts, I would start there. I would talk to the project manager or whoever your relationship is with that current contract and see if they know what level that you're going to be required to be, because they would probably be able to be the ones that would give you the best guidance. Don't already have an existing contract, I would start by looking at the CMMC standard itself, which is online. It's already published. And start trying to become or see if you're compliant with at least a level one, because, again, that's your basic cyber hygiene. That's just making sure you have the bare minimum security controls in place. And then kind of increase it from there. Maybe add a level two, or just look through the controls to see if you can be say that you are compliant with level two. At least go to a level three. And I say that because the level three is where all of the NIST 800-171 controls are. So if you had to be compliant with NIST 800-171 in the past, it is assumed that you'll at least be a level three on the CMMC certification scale. So go out there. I would look at the CMMC standard. Again, it's based on the NIST 800-171, but they have added new controls in. So I would go and look at those additional controls and see if you need to implement them. If you do need to implement them, that's where I'd start. I try to start implementing these newer controls, as well as making sure that you have all the other controls in place. There is a rumor, I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's true, but there is not going to be any POAM items and allowed. And by POAM, I mean plan of action and milestones. With the NIST 800-171, at a bare minimum, they said you could be compliant if you have a system security plan and a plan of action and milestones. That means that you are able to, if you are not implementing a control, you could write an implementation plan for the control and put it on your plan of action and milestones. With the CMMC,
okay, great.
That plan of, yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, Gray, I know you're still, no, please continue.
Oh, sorry. that plan of action and milestones, I think, is going away with the CMMC. So you either have to have a control in place or it's not in place. And if you don't have all the proper controls in place for the level that you are assessing against, you're not going to get certified against that level, and it might drop your level. So I would definitely
make sure
that you're implementing all the controls. Yep, jump in, Greg.
I'll just jump in and add an insight. It, in that sense, it becomes like PCI, doesn't it, Lori, where it's kind of a binary thing. You're either compliant or you're not. And there might be some leeway where, okay, you've made a best effort, but now there has to be, next time, next year we do this audit, there has to be this particular compensating control has to be gone, and the actual control needs to be implemented in full. So it, there will be a lot less leeway than there currently is. I would just say, Robbie, you may have some final comments, but I just wanted to offer an insight here. And forgive the unabashed plug, but we can help. You know, Lori and I can come in, more Lori than me. I'll just arrange it with your organization. But if, you know, an organization can have Lori come in right now today and consult with them to see where they're at with NIST 800-171, talk to them about what's relevant, given their contracts and the level of controls that they probably should have in place, and help them to start prepare if this is coming down the pike. They certainly don't want to get caught flat-footed. The old days of, we have anti-malware software and we have a multi-state firewall and here's our policies aren't going to cut it anymore. And Lori can help do a deep dive maturity assessment to see really what their maturity is in the NIST 800-171. So even as this process fleshes out, there's no need to be caught flat-footed. Would that be a safe assessment, Lori, that we can go in and we can help make sure they're at least on the right track?
Yeah, definitely, because there's already guidance out there on how to assess against the NIST 800-171. So I'm assuming they're going to be leveraging that for the CMMC as well. So we can go in and, like you said, just kind of start helping and see things are implemented properly. And if there's not, offer guidance on how to implement it properly, because you don't want to be caught at the last minute knowing that all this has to be implemented and it wasn't done, you know, either it wasn't done at all or it just wasn't done correctly.
Okay. And we are looking
into
having Lori certify as well, Robbie. So, you know, if not there, then through partnerships, we will be able to help our listeners.
Awesome. That sounds great. How should people reach out to you?
Well, probably the best thing is just to come to webcheckSecurity.com and get in touch at webcheckSecurity.com is our email, or they can reach us there and fill out a form, and we'll bring Lori into the loop and immediately get her engaged with some consult and see how we can help the organization.
Sounds awesome. Lori, Greg, thank you for your time today. It was a very enlightening podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Our
pleasure. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.